Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
My name is Brad, and the story I'm about to tell you is about the fear of nightmares. Fear and anxiety that I couldn't escape. Here it goes. I'm a patient at a mental asylum on the west side of New York. It's one of the worst places that a patient could ever be admitted to. I've heard many things about this hospital. You're searched before you even enter the building. Half of the patients here are really creepy and unsettling. They look like they haven't been washed in days or maybe even months. I was assigned to room 154. It was a big asylum, the biggest one I'd ever been in. I was diagnosed with major depression, anxiety, and anger disorder. I often had to hurt myself, beat myself up, or cut myself over and over again because of the problems I've been dealing with. I've had them since I was born. My parents would always ask me about the cuts and bruises on my arms and body.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
I'd tell them that I fell or that I hurt myself accidentally while shaving, just to get them off my back. I didn't want to tell them the truth about what I was going through. I was 18 when I was sent to the asylum. I made very few friends, but there was this one girl who seemed to like me. We sat together at lunch and talked about our lives. She had problems of her own. She was a victim of abuse, with her own struggles with mental illness and depression. I could really feel what she had been through. We spent a lot of time talking and getting to know each other better, but there was one patient who really gave me the creeps. He had scars on his arms and face, and looked almost like a monster. To this day, I don't even know his name or any history on him. All I knew was that he was really dangerous. He was assigned to the room next to mine, and I could barely sleep with him so close. He would talk in a deep voice, and sometimes he talked in his sleep. I told the nurses, begging them to move him to another room upstairs, but they just told me not to pay him any mind. I told them, "How am I supposed to ignore him when he talks to himself in the middle of the night?" The nurse simply replied, "I'm sorry, but I can't do anything about that." So I just forced myself to sleep that night. The next morning during breakfast, they took me out of my room. I felt really uncomfortable because the guy next door gave me this death stare in the cafeteria, as if he was planning to kill me in my sleep. Knowing his kind of craziness, I just brushed it off. I told myself, "It's an insane asylum. There are going to be people who act weird or crazy. I just have to deal with this." But later that night, when I was trying to sleep, I heard him again. My heart sank. He tapped on the wall between our rooms and said, "I know who you are. I know what you look like. You tried to be my friend." I responded back, "I don't know you, sir, and I don't want to be your friend. You're creepy and weird." He then spoke in a menacing tone, "I am the voice of the devil, and I'll torment you until death." I didn't even know what to say. I was shaking, terrified. I thought to myself, "What is this guy going to do to me? Am I even safe in this tiny room? Am I going to survive the night?" I tried to sleep, but the fear really kept me awake. The next day, I went to the nurses to report what had happened. They said they'd keep an eye on him, which made me feel a little better. but I didn't see or hear from him again until later that day at lunch. That's when things got really unsettling. He had a fork in his pocket. My heart dropped. I thought, this guy's going to kill me before this is over. I have to get out of here. I went to the nurses and told them about the fork. They searched for him but didn't find anything. They probably didn't look thoroughly enough, or maybe he had hidden it somewhere else. That night, I laid in bed trying to sleep when he came right up to my door. He then said, "Are you scared, Brad? You should be scared." Then he leaned in with the fork and then stabbed me in my chest and arms. I screamed for the nurses, my voice desperate as blood poured from my wounds. They eventually came running, opened my door, and then pulled him off of me. My blood was everywhere. I was terrified. I knew he was capable of hurting me, and he proved it right then. The staff and nurses told me that he was being transferred to Virginia State Hospital, at least 7,900 miles away, maybe even more. They assured me that he wouldn't be a threat anymore. Thank God that he was far away from me now. My days at this asylum were eventually over. I was finally going home. I'm very relieved and thankful that I had survived that. It was a horrific time being there. I'm a physician out of Western Massachusetts. Unfortunately for me, I started as an officially licensed doctor fall of 2019, meaning that the pandemic is where I had to get my sea legs for being a hospitalist, so to speak. Being a new physician during the pandemic was harrowing for a lot of reasons, but this experience was by far the most disturbing I've had since I started practicing. As a bit of a preamble, I've never completely understood why people have such an intense fear of oblivion. If you were kidnapped, tortured, and eventually killed by Albert Fish, would you truly be interested in an afterlife where you retain that memory? Death is often very merciful because it's true erasure. You no longer have to live with terrible pain or haunting experiences. Trauma lives on only for those who can remember it. And as for hell, I think we're able to create something much worse than fire and brimstone, even with the best intentions. That is where this story comes in. During the height of the pandemic, a lot of non-ICU staff were being asked to help run the ICU because the volume of critically ill patients was so unbearable. Normally, I only work with hospitalized patients on the regular ward's floor, but in December of 2021, I was drafted to be pseudo-ICU doc, much to my own dismay. The vast majority of our ICU patients were intubated. For those of you who are unfamiliar, this means that they have a breathing tube in because their lung tissue was completely non-functional. Despite what you might see on TV, most patients who are intubated are given sedating medications. They essentially sleep through the experience. This is both humane and therapeutic. We generally don't want people who are intubated to be trying to breathe on their own. It can essentially overinflate their lungs. The day this happened, it was like any other normal shift. The patient in question was a 60-year-old woman with no past medical history. She had been intubated for 2 weeks because her immune system had essentially shredded her lungs trying to eliminate her COVID infection. Pretty much the same story as everyone else, and like many others, she was slowly recovering. Her blood pressure, however, had really been a difficult thing to control. It had been dangerously low intermittently throughout her entire admission. Because of this, the sedating medication we used primarily was ketamine, which generally does not have an effect on your blood pressure, but it can be associated with dissociative reactions, which is a type of psychosis. When you've been on the ventilator for that long, your trachea actually starts to become rigid and inflexible. If that change happens, you can't really breathe without a ventilatory tube. Your body has essentially molded around this foreign instrument. Because of this, 2 weeks or so is when we decide whether or not you need to have a tracheostomy performed. Think of the smokers with a hole in their neck. This often has a very negative impact on a patient's life. So in an effort to see if she could breathe on her own, we begin lowering her sedation. 30 minutes later, I heard it. Initially, I couldn't recognize the sound. It was like if you recorded the sound of a blender and then listened to it on cheap headphones. The sound was in high pitch, but at the same time it was a bit muffled and coarse. When I turned around, I saw this patient sitting up straight in bed. I gasped and I moved back slightly. That sound I heard was her screaming into her ventilatory tube. Not yelling, not hollering.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Rang. She was screaming bloody murder through a ventilatory tube. Her eyes were bloodshot and bulging. It looked like she was also crying, but that may have been the artificial tears. Blood was also starting to leak down the corners of her mouth. Oropharyngeal and laryngeal trauma from her screaming so vigorously. Since she had COVID, there was no one in the room with her when she initially started screaming. This was part of the infection control. In order for us in healthcare to not contract COVID, we needed to essentially be in hazmat suits to interact with a COVID patient. We all rushed to get the proper equipment to enter her room. In that time, she had managed to completely pull out her ventilatory tube to our conjoint horror. I'll never forget the thing she said when we got to bedside. She was pleading with us. Please send me back. Please, please, this is all wrong. This is not who I am anymore. I don't want to be here. It hurts and it's wrong. I don't want them to notice I left. I want to go back. Please, please send me back. Mind you, she was saying this through the blood that was now leaking down her throat and up through her mouth from the trauma of removing the tube. We did eventually get the tube back in her after we gave her some emergency sedation, but the damage was already done. She died a few hours later. One family member was able to visit her at her bedside while she passed. We didn't have the heart to explain in full graphic detail what had happened. We only said that she took out her breathing tube and it caused a lot of damage. I don't know where our consciousness lies when we're sedated for that long, but I'm afraid of that place. Death is permanent, but it's also balanced and equal. Everyone rests in oblivion unbound from the traumas of life. The hells that we can create, however, those places do not seem nearly as merciful.
I am a nurse at the largest hospital in my city. Although I work on several units, I am most often on the oncology and palliative care unit. For those that do not know, oncology focuses on the treatment and care of those with cancer, and palliative care is for people who are imminently dying and require symptom management interventions. With this in mind, I have been present in the final moments of many people's lives. I consider it an honor to assist others in dying with comfort and dignity, and it is very rewarding work. However, there have been several instances when the proximity of death has brought about some unexplainable events. One particular instance that comes to mind happened in my first year of the profession. This patient had already died in the evening. Their family members had left the hospital, and the body had been cleaned and dressed. It was now nighttime, around 2300 hours, and I was performing my routine paperwork while awaiting the porter to transport to the morgue. It was very quiet, and the other patients on the floor had settled for the time being. The only other noise was the hushed conversation between the other nurses and I, the clicking of various instruments in patient rooms, and the constant rumbling of the building around us. A call bell chimed at the monitor on the nursing station. I will explain now that the call bell system enables someone in a patient room to push a button on the bed, which is connected to the wall, which sends a signal to a monitor at the station. There are several buttons available, including emergent, but those are not reachable from the bed and are instead on the wall. The station monitor displays the room number and the nature of the call bell, regular or emergency, along with a designated chime based on that nature. Slow, relaxed beeps for a regular bell, rapid, intense beeping for bathroom bells, bed exit alarms, and emergency codes. A light above the door of the patient's room will become illuminated. It was not uncommon by any means to hear a call bell considering the 30-odd patients on our side of the unit. It wasn't even unusual that the call bell was coming from the recently deceased patient's room because the porter often will press the bell to notify the nurse of their arrival. What was surprising, however, was when I entered the room, there was not a living person there, as I expected. The room remained as I had previously left it, low lights, curtains drawn, body in a casual supine position with the wrists crossed over the waist. Had I mistaken which room had called? I peeked above the door and the light was illuminated. I thought it was strange, but sometimes these systems glitch. Alarm silenced, I returned to my desk. Approximately half an hour later, the bell was rung again. As before, I assumed it was the porter. And again, the room was unchanged with no porter present.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I was a little frustrated, as I wholeheartedly believed that the call bell was malfunctioning. I even checked that the body's shoulders were not accidentally pressing the button on the inside of the side rails, but they were not. To prevent the button from being pressed, I disconnected the cord that associated the bed to the system in the wall. It sounded a cord fault alarm, which I quickly silenced in both the room and at the station monitor. The porter would just have to come to the nursing station when they arrived. Just as I was continuing my tasks, the insistent and recognizable bed exit alarm sounded. These alarms are based on weight and are usually set directly onto the bed. When weight is removed from the bed, the alarm trips to notify the nurse that a patient is getting out of bed when they should not be. Normally, these alarms, like all the others, will be displayed on the call bell monitor at the station. Alongside this, the bed itself will emit a loud alarm. At this time, there was no alarm on the monitor, but I could hear the buzzer coming from down the hall. I rushed to the sound, expecting to find a patient halfway out of bed asking for the bathroom. Instead, my heart began to sink as I realized the sound was coming from the dead patient's room. The body was perfectly still, in the same position. The alarm was loud enough to make my ears ring. Because I had not disconnected the cord from the wall, the alarm had not gone to the station monitor. But I do not remember setting the bed alarm at all. There was no need to, as the patient was deceased. Perhaps I had forgotten to turn it off? Either way, there was no reason the alarm should be sounding. The patient obviously had not moved and remained in bed. At this point, I was officially creeped out. It is in my nature to trust science above anything supernatural, and I am not a believer in souls or spirits. However, being in a room with an unanimated body is a very moving experience. Although they may not have their physical energy or liveliness, a sort of awe-striking presence can be felt. It felt as though something remained in that room, and it begged for my attention. I took several minutes of silence, just taking some deep breaths and watching the chest of the patient. There was no movement, no breathing, no signs of life remaining. I gently patted the presenting hand on the waist. It was cold and bony, and I could tell her limbs were beginning to stiffen. I left the room once more. The porter arrived about 5 minutes later, and I assisted them in placing the body on the stretcher and applying the drape. I then called a housekeeper to clean the room, and within an hour, a new patient was being admitted.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The other nurses had commented on how weird those alarms were. But what truly got to me in the end was the remarks of the new room's occupant. this person was fully lucid and oriented with no inclination towards confusion or delirium. They asked me point blank if anyone had died in their room recently. I asked why. They then proceeded to say, "It was an elderly Asian woman, wasn't it? And she died of lung cancer." I didn't know how to respond to that description, as it was accurate to the body that I had previously mentioned. The patient must have read my surprise and nonchalantly said, "Very well, can you at least open the window for the poor woman?" I did as was requested and never heard about it again. I have had several other experiences that gave me goosebumps, but this is one of the most vivid I can recall.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.